Your Money Briefing. Money and Market Stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. Some movie blockbusters out this summer are expected to pull in between $500 million and $1 billion each. But that doesn't necessarily translate to good news all around. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money headlines. The Trump administration is expected to make about 15,000 additional H-2B work visas available for low-skilled foreign workers this summer. And that's important for businesses like fisheries, landscapers, and those in summer tourist spots. The program is also popular with businesses, including some of President Trump's properties, who say they can't find sufficient workers, particularly when unemployment is at 3.9%, the lowest since 2000. This year, work visas are being issued via lottery because of high demand. The program is opposed by critics, including some in the administration, who say that foreign workers drive down wages and take work from Americans. And the cost to take out a federal student loan will go up this year. The interest rate for undergraduate student loans will rise to about 5.05% for the 2018-2019 academic year. That's up from 4.45% last year. For federal Stafford loans for graduate students, which have a limit of $20,500 per year for most graduate students, the interest rate will rise to 6.59%, up from 6% last year. The interest rate hikes will only affect borrowers taking out new loans for the coming year, which they can begin doing on July 1st. And given that the U.S. Federal Reserve has indicated it plans to continue to increase interest rates, it's likely that the cost to borrow from the federal government will continue to go up. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
This Wall Street Journal podcast is brought to you by American Express. The business world includes almost everything, so American Express covers almost everything. It's all connected. Technology needs business. Business needs government. Government needs technology. It's one big circle of backing that's supporting, advising, funding, and informing. It makes the business world go round. The bottom line is that it's way better when someone has your back. You really don't have to go it alone when you have American Express, because they have your back. Don't do business without it.
Welcome back, everyone. It's the summer of Avengers: Infinity War. The Disney superhero blockbuster made almost $500 million. That was just 2 weeks into its release. That's good news for Disney, but Heard on the Street columnist Justin Lehart is here to explain why hit movies don't always mean good news all around. So, Justin, you write in your column in the Wall Street Journal that these blockbusters like Avengers and Black Panther, they create box office inequality. What do you mean by that?
Movies have always been unequal, right? There's always some big movies, and most of the others are smaller. But what's happened recently, just in the last few years, is that the big movies have gotten much, much bigger relative to everyone else. So, you know, this year we have Avengers, we have Black Panther. There's some other big movies that are coming out during this summer movie season. But then if you look just a few names in, there's a huge drop off in terms of the expectations of what kind of money it's going to draw. There's been just a change in the business, it seems.
So you've got Jurassic Park coming out this summer from Universal, and then you've got your assortment of the garden variety rom-coms and such that are much smaller.
Yeah, I mean, there's some other big movies. You know, Incredibles 2 is coming out. That's going to be big. There's Solo, the Han Solo movie, right? And then, but then you get this big drop-off. You get sort of down to the Ant-Man movie. You know about the Ant-Man movie?
Oh, Ant-Man and the Wasp? Is that what it is?
Yeah, right. It's not going to do nearly as well as the others. And then you get into kind of rom-com territory, and it just doesn't look that exciting. The other thing is, I mean, we just haven't seen these breakout, you know, sort of big breakout comedy-type movies. That hasn't been happening lately. And it's a lot of it, you know, a lot of it is sequel-driven, superhero-driven, that type of movie. It does really, really well, and the studios are obviously pushing it, and they're pushing it for a reason. They're pushing it for a couple of reasons.
So from your column, I got that the law of averages says a certain number of movies are going to fail, and the more budget-busting films there are, like Avengers and movies like that, the more likely one or more of them is going to fail, and as you say, that can be very painful for the movie studios.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have big flops sometimes, really big flops, Ishtar-level flops, you know, Waterworld-level flops. What was last year's? King Arthur, right? Pretty forgettable. I don't remember it, really. But, you know, these happen. And there's sort of this supposition, oh, they're not going to happen with some of these big tentpole movies that are coming out. And the fact is that they always do. Tastes change in the movies. What works this year, what seems like a sure thing this year, may not be a sure thing next year, right? So this is sort of a dangerous thing. This could be a dangerous situation for some of the companies with big studios, right? They're really pushing these blockbusters, right? But if it fails, they could have a lot more volatility, right? They're always going to be flops, but if you have a bunch of movies that are supposed to make $100 million and, you know, some of them flop, that's okay. If you have a movie that's supposed to make $500 million and it flops, that's a big deal.
It's like the more they cost, the harder they fall.
Right. It's just a lot more volatility there.
But, you know, for the movie studios, they're walking a tightrope because people at home have just myriad entertainment choices. And these big budget movies with all the fanfare and the advertising and all of the promotion, that could be what's good enough to get folks off the couch.
Yeah, that's I think things have really changed. Again, there's always been inequality at the movies, but what seems to be happening is with all the options that you have at home, that it really does take a lot to draw you in. And, you know, again, they want to really, you know, make sure that they're going to do that. So really pushing for that type of thing. And, you know, we don't see, you know, when you think about what the movies were that used to be really big, right? The Godfather, when that came out, that was the biggest movie of that year, right? I love The Godfather. Right? I think that if The Godfather came out now, I don't think it would do that well.
Right. When you consider the people going to the movies, for the most part, teenage boys are the sweet spot for all these movie studios, and they would not be going to see The Godfather.
And even other people, right? I mean, it's just, you know, I think, you know, people, basically the only reason people go to the movies now, I think, is to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, yeah, we've always gone to the movies to have fun.
Well, the movie theaters these days, it's a little bit of a carnival. You have games and you have full dining offerings alongside the screen, you know, the big screen, and then you have the luxury chairs. So you're right.
Yeah, it has to be a big event, right? Like going to the circuit. But that doesn't mean it's always going to be like that. It changes. So, you know, it used to be that, you know, Kramer versus Kramer, big movie, right? I don't know that that's not going to change in the future, right? And that's something that should be a little scary, right? For the movie studios, they think that they have the secret formula, and maybe they have the secret formula right now. But again, it might not be the secret formula next year. Now, I think the other thing we should talk about is that there's another reason to push these big movies, and that's that there's this quota that China has on U.S. movie imports, right? Chinese box office is so big, and you really want to be in there. You want to be in the 30-something films that get shown there. So how do you do that? You have a blockbuster, right? And that just puts that much more emphasis on these big rollouts and less emphasis on the sort of, you know, 75 million kind of movie.
And while the emphasis would be on the U.S. box office take, you really do hope that the international box office take is going to fill your pockets and offset the cost of the film. And that could happen in China, given the population, and then throughout Asia and Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. And you should, I mean, when you look at these movies, I mean, they don't really lose money on the movie, right? It's just, when it comes to the way investors are thinking about it, it's like, how are you going to just break even? Because, you know, a business that breaks even all the time, well, that doesn't have a stream of income. I'm not going to buy that, right? It needs to do well. So these things really do need to do well, and you get a big international box office. That's great.
And there's more to it than the movie. There's the back end. There's the merchandising and such. You're very unlikely. I don't know what kind of merchandising could be offered for a rom-com, a Hugh Jackman rom-com, for example. I mean, it makes obvious sense with the superheroes. And so there is a potential for a lot of legs for these big budget superhero type movies to collect money along the life cycle of the movie itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And they draw people in, right? There's this whole... No, Marvel Universe is a big deal now, and people want to see what happens next, and they want to see the next one, right? Even if they don't like the movie that much, they'll still go to that. They'll still go. Right?
It's no accident all these Star Wars movies are coming out. It's not because of the goodness of the heart of the movie studio. It's because they know you got to fish where the fish are.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That is Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist Justin Lehar joining us here in our studio. Justin, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.